Tim McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land wherever you may be. Hey, thanks for tuning in, friends, here on the NOLA Drinks Show. We hope here on this show that we have not thrown your budget a little out of whack just because you're listening to the show. All right, just wanted to say that. I am going to say one thing. We know I say this all too often these days, that this show is not about politics. It's about drink and food. And there are times, of course, in the world when, and realistically, that drink and food and the service industry and alcohol production and some of these things that are our typical topics on the show coincide with politics and social issues. And we do talk about that stuff on this show. I'm not afraid to address these issues. And I think it's important when we go to a restaurant or we go to a bar, or we consume a bottle of wine, understanding some of the broader things that are connected to it, I think are important. There's plenty of people out there that do really good work when it comes to just, you know, maybe talking about food and restaurant reviews, or wine reviews, or how to make a particular cocktail, these sorts of things. And sure, we touch on, I guess, some of that stuff. We don't do reviews and we don't do listicles, as you know. But there's a lot of people who do that kind of stuff. And if that's what you're looking for, that's great. That's not necessarily what we always do here. So we do like to tackle, as I said, social issues and some of these things connected to the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond, as we like to say. And, you know, again, another tragedy in the United States that I'm sure we're all aware of, whether you're listening to the radio here in New Orleans today, or if you're listening to the podcast somewhere else in the U.S. or in Southeast Louisiana or somewhere abroad, overseas, anywhere. And we do have a lot of listeners that do that, and I appreciate that. But yet another tragedy. And again, the show is not typically about politics, and the particular issue and mass shooting in Las Vegas is very disheartening and sad, and I'll say that. And also, when we consider what's going on with Hurricane Maria and the recovery in these areas, and what's going on in Puerto Rico, still trying to recover from Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, of course, our neighbors to the south in Mexico City with the large earthquake that was actually about a month ago, all of these things. What I really want to say is that, natural disasters and these things we can't help. Mass shootings, I do think we can help. Now, I'm not going to go down that road exactly what that means. But the one thing I want to say is that here in this country, something that we like to say is it's the greatest country on earth. And if we're going to continue to say that it's the greatest country on earth, then we better earn it. And we better mean it. And whatever that means to you, that's fine. And again, I'm not going to discuss what my particular viewpoints are on these specific issues or what that means. But sometimes I'm starting to feel like, or have felt for some time, that this is it's an excuse to actually be lazy and not address the things that we really need to address. So, looking at what this country, the United States, is supposed to be about, what it was founded on, what the philosophies of those that started the country believed in, and what our rights are, what our ethos is supposed to be, and how we treat each other, how we express ourselves, justice, equality, these sorts of things. Helping our neighbors, I think, is something that we need to keep in mind as well, and making sure that, like in Puerto Rico, that we're helping our fellow Americans in Puerto Rico every bit as much as we're trying to help our friends in Southeast Texas or in Florida. And so, again, I just think that if we're going to call ourselves the greatest country on earth, then we need to continue to earn it. It's not a title that you just get and keep and rest on your laurels. It takes work, friends. It takes work. And I hope that we continue to try and have that dialogue and earn it and be it. And I want to throw out, since I'm talking about hurricanes, obviously don't mean to be a downer, but definitely time to start paying attention here to the weather. Tropical storm Nate, and probably going to be Hurricane Nate by the time it's on our doorstep over the weekend on Sunday, is coming. And it's time to pay attention to that sort of thing and not be complacent, I think, here if in the New Orleans area due to our recent experiences with Katrina and other storms. We don't take these things for granted as much as we used to, but please be prepared. Check your hurricane plans. Make good decisions. Help your neighbors. Be kind to one another. Be cautious. Be weather aware, as we like to say. So please do check that out or pay attention to that. And, you know, the forecast, watch the National Hurricane Center, listen to your local officials, all that good stuff. Excuse me, friends, we do have a good show coming up for you today. Looking forward to talking about a few things. The main part of the show is that we actually paid a visit earlier in the week to Cajun Spillway, probably because of the weather. Cajun Spirits Distilling, which is located on Poydras, pretty near the Dome, right there, technically in the Third Ward. And what they're a distillery. They've actually been around for a few years. Of course, the folks that make Old New Orleans Rum is the oldest distillery in New Orleans, which they're not even that old, mid-90s, if I recall correctly. And Cajun Spirits started, technically got the ball rolling in 2010, started to put their facility together there on Poydras in 2011, really kind of got going in full tilt in 2014. And so they are arguably the second oldest, still running distiller in New Orleans. I guess Atelier V also started right around the same time. But like I was saying, and we interview, where I'm going with this, we interview Edward Hike, and Edward is the distiller there. And the distilleries, as we'll get into their story, but it's two brothers that started it. Essentially, the older brother, Gus, kind of got things going. We talk about that with Edward. And then Edward came on board full time in 2014 and took the reins as the distiller. And so they've been around for a little while. Now, here's the weird thing is, especially if you're listening, as I say in the interview, I guess, if you're listening from outside the area, you might think, wow, New Orleans got to have a whole bunch of distilleries that have been around for decades, right? And at least after a prohibition or something like that. And the case really, that's really not the case, due to a lot of, I think, legal considerations and other things. Really, we've seen a blossoming of really breweries and distilleries in just the past handful of years. So when we say Cajun Spirits Distilling is arguably the second oldest current distillery in the city, that's not necessarily meant to imply that they've been around for 30 years or 40 years. They've really been, around for 3 or 4 years in full effect and earnest. But it's an interesting visit. They make some really good stuff. Their gin's fantastic, other good stuff that they make. And we visit with Edward for a while, talk about their story, their program, taste some things, of course, and all of that good stuff. So we're going to talk about that. We are going to talk about South Africa Wine Week, which is coming up from October 30th to November 5th. And you've heard me mention that before, but pleased to announce that here on the NOLA Drink Show that we are the official broadcast partner of that event. So we're going to be doing a lot of stuff leading up to both the week and during the week and after the week, talking about South African wine. So we're going to touch on that a little bit more a little bit later. And we're going to talk about some events. We're going to talk a little bit about wine. We'll probably get into a few other things. So that should be a pretty good show coming up for you. I wanted to mention, I'm going to highlight one event now that I think you may not want to miss, and I wanted to get this at the top of the show because it's happening very, very soon this evening. Doors open at 6:30 and dinner is at 7. It is a 4-course meal taking place at Cavern, which is 3607 Magazine Street, uptown, and that's going to be a really fun dinner. It's actually a sake dinner, and it's going to be neat. It's a 4-course meal prepared by Chef Nathan Richard and their beverage director, Noel Wilcox, who's a big sake fan, has paired each of the courses with a particular sake in a particular style. And if you're not familiar with sake, we talk about it quite a bit here on the show, but there's a huge variation in style in the world of sake and what some of the differences are. So we're going to be there. So not that that's going to make you want to go, okay, just saying, but we are going to be there. And I'm looking really forward to it, to seeing some of the breadth of what Nathan has prepared from the kitchen and what Noel has paired with the meal. But I believe there are still some spots available. It's $75 plus, meaning plus tax plus tip, but still very reasonable, $75 per head. And you can basically make a reservation for the dinner. Again, my understanding is that the doors open at 6:30, the dinner seats at 7. And you can give them a call at 504-509-7655. Again, 504-509-7655. Or you can email Roger Isles, who's the GM there at Cavern. And that's just Roger, R-O-G-E-R, at CavernNola, CavernNola.com. I guess I would recommend, if you want to go to the dinner, that you probably should give them a call, given that it's happening in about 2.5 hours from now or so if you're listening to the radio. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'm sorry you missed it, but I'm sure we'll talk about it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So again, you can give them a call, 504-509-7655, Cavern NOLA Sake Dinner coming up. So hey, yeah, when we come back from the break, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a couple things, talk a little bit about little bit about production, I think, and some ideas that I have behind that and how that relates to the service industry and the hospitality industry and presentation. And we have some time in that segment. We're going to get into a little bit about wine and a couple other things. So we'll do that. Then we'll run our interview with Edward Hike from the Cajun Spirits Distilling Company there, and then we'll close out. After that's done, we'll close out the show with a segment or two on some other events going on around town and some closing thoughts. So, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here with you. Come on back.
Well, let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Turn the radio loud. I'm too alone.
Are you tired of drinking the same wines? Switch it up. Try the Kreutz Family Cellars wine. Kreutz Family Cellars is a small, family-owned winery in Sonoma County that makes wines from some of the most prized vineyards throughout Northern California. Each bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines has a magnolia on the label. The magnolia is a symbol of the family's southern roots and their way of life. True, honest, and fun. Look for the magnolia and pick up a bottle of Kreutz Family Cellars wines today.
Hi, New Orleans. It's Laura from Sobu, and I'm here with Chef Juan Carlos.
Sobu's got happier hour. It's 3 to 6 from 3 to 6.
It's bar bars, sips, and snacks, all for $3 to $6 from 3 to 6 p.m. every day.
Laura's got something to please everyone at the bar for happier hour, all for 3 to 6 here at Sobu.
And we know you'll want to try a smoky pulled pork taco or any of the other delicious snacks on our happier hour menu.
Sobu's happier hour, every day from 3 to 6, 310 Charter Street in the quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today, whether you're listening on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans or whether you are listening in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, hey, our show, if you're interested in the podcast, which I always encourage, you can get that on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. You can always go to noladrinks.com. We have it there as well. So yeah, check it out. And always pay a visit to our website, of course, and then visit us on Facebook, just NOLA Drinks, or you can catch us on Instagram. We do a lot of stuff there, also just NOLA Drinks. And occasionally we do some stuff on Twitter, and that's NOLA Drinks 1, the number 1, and some more stuff coming down the pike. So pay attention to that. I always like to hear what your ideas are for topics that we can cover. Let us know what you think about certain things. And we post, especially on our Facebook page, we post a lot of things that are going on around town that we find interesting, maybe not even just around town, but news from the food and beverage world, these sorts of things. You can find that there. And then on Instagram, we tend to sort of just post pictures of when we're out and about doing stuff. And obviously here in the greater New Orleans area, there is a lot of stuff going on all the time. Hey, something I did want to mention before we move too much further. We were talking a little bit about the situation in Puerto Rico after the hurricane and the recovery effort there. And actually, I was just reading something a friend of a friend who is in Puerto Rico providing aid has indicated this was, you know, shared personally, but I take this at face value. The situation's bad. We're talking about actually they were trying to get some relief to an orphanage where the kids essentially had no food. And there's a great deal of need. And the response obviously has not been the same as it was in Texas, Southwest Louisiana, and of course in Florida. And, you know, we need to help out. So actually going back a few days, every parish here in Louisiana has set up a donation center for for you to drop off, you know, goods, diapers, these sorts of things. I always encourage giving, you know, clothes, of course, that sort of thing. I always encourage giving money to good organizations over giving goods, because the money is going to be implemented when it's most needed, in the way that it is most needed. Like we were talking about before with Hurricane Harvey, I'm going to get to that in a second, that, you know, this over there in Southeast Texas and Southwest Louisiana, you know, this is, we know this here in this part of the world, that this is when the long trudge, as I say, takes place. And this is, you know, when you're trying to rebuild your house and you're reinstalling sheetrock and all these kinds of things. And so different types of things are needed, maybe over some of the need for things like diapers or baby formula, baby wipes, bottles, feminine care products. These are what are being sought through for donations for Puerto Rico. But that's kind of a lot of the immediate stuff, water, these sorts of things. I think finding good organizations, and there are numerous ones out there that you can provide some money to, they'll help target that money for what is needed when. I think that makes some sense. But hey, also these goods are needed. The things I just listed in the case with Puerto Rico, diapers, non-perishable baby formula, baby wipes, bottles, and feminine care products. And we're doing this here in Louisiana through October 11th, which I believe is next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So each parish has a particular donation site that's open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., I believe, every day. Here's a few in Orleans Parish, 2118 Elysian Fields. It's the New Orleans Fire Station, again, 2118 Elysian Fields, 5403 Reed Boulevard at New Orleans Fire Station there. Also, 2000 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, also at a New Orleans Fire Station. So three spots there. Also, Jefferson Parish JP Surplus, which is at 900 David Drive in Metairie, an Odom Building at 5001 West Bank Expressway in Marrero. Let's see, St. Tammany over here where I live, up in Old Mandeville, if you care, is First Baptist Church in Covington, which is at 1633 Louisiana 1085. Again, First Baptist Church in Covington, 16333 Louisiana 1085. And also Aldersgate United Methodist Church over in Slidell at 360 Robert Boulevard. Again, Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Slidell at 360 Robert Boulevard. There's a good site, WDSU, of course, the NBC television affiliate in the New Orleans area, WDSU.com. They have a listing of all the all the donation sites per parish in Southeast Louisiana or in their viewing area, which covers most of our listeners, at least on the radio. So give while you can. And again, like I do, don't want to take anything away from this, but encourage folks giving a little bit of money when they can, because I think it's just more effective. And our friends and fellow Americans, if you're listening in the United States to the show, need our help just as much as anybody else does. So we need to get a move on that. Did want to mention, since we were talking about it, the fantastic benefit that was put on last Sunday took place at Trejo on Tulane Avenue. I believe that's 3485, maybe. Tulane Avenue, if I remember right. Something like that, but on Tulane Avenue in Mid-City. And it was a great event. And it was called Bartender's Handshake. And if you were listening to the show last week, you know we interviewed Tyler Chauvin, who was the primary organizer along, and she is the beverage director at Trejo, where the event was, and T. Cole Newton, who is the proprietor of 12 Mile Limit, the bar right around the corner from those guys. And he's the vice president of the United States Bartenders Guild New Orleans chapter, and also instrumental in organizing that, along with a whole bunch of other people. A lot of great donations, great music, where people, DJs, band, donated their time. 610 Stompers were there running a beer pong tournament. I'm going to use that term loosely, tournament. There was, let's see, we had bocce, all kinds of, and drinks were made, and people teamed up, bartenders teamed up and made cocktails in tandem for an hour, and they kind of just went in shifts like that and made different drinks. The proceeds of those entirely went to basically aid the St. Bernard Foundation and also the U.S. Bartenders Guild Fund, which is earmarked for victims of Hurricane Harvey. A bit of the emphasis, of course, was on service and hospitality industry, but it was a really, really good event. It was a lot of fun. Sylvia, my wife, and I were out there for a good couple hours, 2.5 hours, and really enjoyed ourselves. It was good catching up with a lot of people I hadn't seen in a while. It was a lot of fun. I think they raised a good amount of money. I don't have a total for you. I'll try and get that, but I do know that the event came across really, really well, and people were happy and pretty successful. So there you go. I want to give a shout out to those guys, Bartender's Handshake there, and go check out the podcast from last week. We talk a lot about what the Bartender's Handshake means even. So there you go. Hey, wanted to mention this real quick in the last few minutes we have before I got to take a break here, talking about production and distilling and bottling and some of these things. And, you know, we've been paying a lot of visits to distilleries and breweries for the show. And then just lately, I've been kind of on a kick trying to get caught up with all these new breweries and distilleries that we have around, just to check them out. And, you know, it got me thinking a little bit that, you know, in lots of instances where we talk about different things about production, the production side of things, it's kind of a different thing. And I might get myself in a little bit of trouble here, but I just want to be clear in what I'm saying is that, you know, go out and avail yourself of understanding the production side, even if you're in the service industry. I know a lot of people who are, you know, very talented bartenders, sommeliers, other folks that are in the business from that side, and they actually even have a pretty good academic understanding of production and what it means and kind of how these things go, what means what, like just taking wine, for example, what French oak does to a wine, okay, that sort of thing. But I do think, and this is kind of more of my background, so maybe I'm sort of tooting my own horn here, but being connected to the production. So in my case, it's mostly wine production. That's where I'm involved. Family had a small vineyard in California, and I worked at small wineries for a long time, or a good amount of time, I should say. And I was around production, helped out with production, both in the vineyard and in the cellar. And it gives you a real visceral connection, I think, to the product. And I think it gives you a really good understanding of why things are the way they are, how these things can be really hard to make. You know, beer, wine, spirits, food production, any of these things can be really difficult to actually make. And, you know, just even the experience that I got to have, I was very lucky. I could walk through my family's vineyard and taste the grapes throughout the season and have an understanding of what ripeness is and what that grape then tastes like in the bottle when the wine is finished and released a year and a half or 2 years later. So that stuff, I think, is sometimes lost on people, including people that might be sommeliers and these sorts of things, is that they may academically understand the stuff, but the actual real connection to the production side and what it means, how hard it is, the respect for that. And I'm not saying that they all don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying that some folks might miss out on that. So I just encourage you as a listener, whether you're a professional or not, to learn about the production side, how things are made. And that's what we like to talk about on the show. So we're going to talk about coming up here in just in a few minutes with Edward Hike at Cajun Spirits Distilling. We talk about their program. I find it interesting. I hope you do too. And I hope it gives you a little bit of a window into the production side, what it means, and having maybe some more appreciation or respect for what you end up with in the bottle. That's kind of one of our goals here on the show. So hey, friends, what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break. And as I said, we're going to be back with Edward Hike, distiller at Cajun Spirits Distilling. We're going to chat with him for a little while, and then we're going to be back to close out the show with a few more thoughts, some events, and some other things. So come on back.
The French Market is open daily with pop-up fresh markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The Crescent City Farmers Market is at the French Market each Wednesday, rain or shine, from 2 to 6 p.m. On Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., find new and different vendors offering everything from fresh bagels to fresh herbs. Vendors change weekly depending on weather and seasons, so check them out often. Visit frenchmarket.org for a list of farmers market vendors, chef demonstrations, live music, and special events.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. In 2008, the Louisiana legislature made the Sazerac cocktail the official cocktail of New Orleans, affirming what New Orleanians had known for over 150 years. You just can't beat a good Sazerac. The Sazerac cocktail is the quintessential New Orleans drink, perfect for celebrating the arrival of fall festivals, football season, or just being proud to be a New Orleanian. For the official recipe, visit www.sazerac.com.
Hello, this is Ron Bartholomew, and to my great city of New Orleans, I'd like to introduce to you Touch Vodka. This artisan handcrafted ultra-premium vodka is uniquely distilled from Florida's finest wildflower honey and American grain. Touch also produces key lime, Valencia orange, and ruby red grapefruit selections that are infused with natural oils of locally sourced fruit, which results in a unique 80-proof vodka with no sugar added or coloring. Touch is now available at Doranax, Cello's, and the Corporation Grill and Bar, and many other locations across Louisiana. This holiday season, sit back and relax and enjoy Touch Vodka.
Hi, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy, suggesting that great handcrafted Pinot Noir from Oregon doesn't need to be expensive. Consider Yamhill Valley Vineyard Estate Pinot Noir from the oldest family estate in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. It's rich, ripe, wonderfully balanced, and it's only about $20 at your favorite New Orleans wine shop. Yamhill Valley Vineyard. Top quality doesn't need to be expensive if you know what to drink. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for tuning into the show today. As always, and as you know, if you're listening at the beginning of the show, at some point before this, not exactly sure when we're airing this, during the two-hour part of the show, you're going to know that now because you're listening to the show. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road too much further. It's confusing to me. Is we are here at Cajun Spirits Distilling, located right here in New Orleans. And pleased to be here with you this afternoon, and pleased to be joined by Edward Hike, who is the you're the distiller.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, get right up in there, man. Don't be shy with the...
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. So we're sitting here in your tasting room, Edward, and you guys are located on Poydras.
Yeah, 2532 Poydras.
Right on.
Yeah.
Don't be shy on that
just
microphone.
Just a few blocks down from the from the Superdome.
Yeah, right by the dome.
Yeah,
and it's a cool spot, and it's weird. Well, I had the good fortune of popping in here maybe 3 weeks ago on a Saturday, and you happened to be here, man in the store, and by yourself. And
yeah.
We
that's typical. In. I'm pretty much here by myself every day. So.
Yeah, it was cool, man. We had a good visit and tasted through a lot of stuff, and he gave us a tour, and then we ended up here in the tasting room and tasting, and that's where we find ourselves again, and glad that we got to connect over a couple microphones, man, this time.
Yeah, yeah. Hope it goes well.
It's going fine so far, so that's good. I know we're going to do a little tasting in a little while, so that'll make it go really well.
Yeah.
So a really cool story, man. I had no idea. We were talking about this when we were here last time, Edward, that the New Orleans Rum, those guys have been around for a number of years, but you guys, are, I guess, are the second oldest distillery in New Orleans city limits. Is that right?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I'm not quite sure. Atelier V came along around the same time as us, so I'm not really sure who got the gun, who did that first. But we're right there. I wonder what year Atelier V was. Maybe 2011 or 2012.
Okay.
And so we've been working on this place since about 2010, 2011. But yeah, we're definitely the second distillery in town to make our stuff from scratch. And actually, I mean, if you want to talk first or seconds or all that stuff,
and that's not that important.
It's not too important, but we definitely were the first kind of craft distillery in town to use Louisiana sugarcane. Nowadays, Old New Orleans Rum does use Louisiana sugarcane. At the time where we started, they were, I think, getting it from very, very far away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned, too, which I think is neat, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up is that you guys have been around for now a number of years, and as you just said, so you guys started technically with the process in 2010, is that right? And then you opened the building here in 2011.
2011, yep.
So it has been a good amount of time, and you guys, and when I say you guys, it's you and your brother, so this is a family operation.
Right, exactly. And we started out here with a blank space, a gigantic empty warehouse. And it wasn't empty because it still had some of the stuff left in it from the past
from
tenant.
The previous.
Yeah, we had some old paint and some, you know, old tiles and some really, really crappy stuff hanging around in here. And so we had to turn this rough space into the distillery that it is today. And that was all my brother and I over the last 6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's back up from there a little bit, too, because your brother, I know your brother's an engineer. and by trade, and still does that. And then I liked your story. How did you get involved with your brother, and what made you guys decide to do this, and how did you find yourself in this warehouse?
Well, my brother was in the distillery. I mean, excuse me, my brother was in the Navy and learned how to deal with systems and learned how to distill because they distill salt water into drinking water for their ships.
Okay, yep.
And so he learned some of the system stuff there. And when he was traveling around in these small European towns and Eastern European and South American towns, he noticed that every single town had their own specific spirit. Whatever they were growing there, they would take it, whatever extra they had, and make extra spirits from it. And by the time he came home, I think he was kind of wondering how come we didn't have more distilleries in New Orleans, especially because of all the stuff that's grown in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
So he became, after he left the Navy, he wanted to be a welder, and he became a welder. And around that time, he answered an ad for a sculptor, a metal sculpture.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to learn how to weld, and that somebody was Michaelopoulos over at Old New Orleans Rum.
Right.
So that's how my brother got involved with Old New Orleans Rum, and he worked with them for a little while. And that was probably 2008. And it was around then that he kind of realized that this was something that was a great opportunity in the city. And it was also something that no one else was making spirits out of Louisiana agriculture, you know. And we have so many different things that we grow here. He was thinking we could really make all sorts of great spirits, brandy, whiskey, you know, vodka, rum, of course. So that was when we decided to start this place up.
It's an interesting thing, Edward, because if people are out there listening to the show that are not either from New Orleans, if you're listening to the podcast, or people that are from here but aren't familiar with the landscape of distilleries and things like that in the area, you might think, oh, New Orleans, there's got to be, you know, scores of distilleries that have been here for decades, right? And all that would just make sense. But like you said, it's really not the case.
No, not the case at all. In fact, Old New Orleans Rum started up in 96, I think, 95 or 96. Mm-hmm. And they were the only one till us.
Right.
And we came into this, and the city had no idea what to do with us in terms of permitting. You know, I mean, I think the only law on the books about making your own spirits was from the 1800s, and it had something to do with peach brandy or something like that.
Oh, really?
That. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. It was this very old law that said, you know, like you can't make peach brandy on a Sunday or something like that.
Right,
and
that was it.
That was it. Yeah, right. Yeah. But besides that, so my brother, much to his credit, had to navigate the legal side and the permitting side of starting a distillery. And when we first opened up, they gave us on our first certificate, it said microbrewery.
And because that was the only permit
that was the only permit they had. That was the only button that they had to press was microbrewery. And and we were trying to explain, you know, well, it's not, and they're like, oh, okay, it doesn't matter, you know, just so
Edward, did you guys find, or when your brother Gus was going through the process, were people helpful in the city? And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, or was it because this whole, it can break both ways, right? Gray area, we're going to say yes, or gray area, we're going to say no.
Yeah, my brother is very much a stickler because of, I think, the Navy side of him, you know, and the engineer side of him, right?
Both.
Right, right. An engineer trained in the Navy is like the most stickler you can be. So he wanted to do everything by the book. And so he just repeatedly would go down there and say, okay, you know, what do I need to do now? What do I need to do now? I mean, if you've ever dealt with the city, you know that you have to go down and they'll tell you what you need. And then you get that thing and then you bring it back. And then they tell you you're missing one thing. And then you go and get that thing and then, oh, you're missing something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much that kind of experience.
Right. Go ask one person, they tell you one thing. You come back, ask another person, they tell you something else.
Exactly.
That experience personally.
Exactly, exactly. And so, but we navigated through that and it did take a little while. My brother, I think, is the most educated person when it comes to, you know, ATC laws and local laws. I mean, he taught himself all of the regulations in terms of this stuff. And he actually ended up having to kind of teach some people in the city hall about the regulations, you know.
Right,
But he did that. And in fact, somebody else, I think a distillery that began to begin, but then I think they did not end up, or they haven't started yet. But they said, yeah, when, by the time we got to doing our permitting, somebody else had trailblazed. So it made it a lot easier. And that trailblazer was my brother Gus.
Was you guys, yeah.
Yeah.
then that's it's maybe rewarding on one hand, and you go, man, what was I getting into? On the other hand, I should have been second. But
right, exactly. I mean, yeah, so we had a lot of challenges starting this place. But it does make you a lot more proud when you look back and you see what you've done, you know?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And as you said, you guys have built it up from scratch by hand.
Yes.
And let's do this, Edward, because we're right about where we need to take a break here in just a few seconds.
Sure.
So when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the story, about how you guys... I also found it fascinating because your brother and you were very involved, like we talk about the glycol system and the stills and stuff like that, about how you actually really did put this together by hand in so many ways. So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And, of course, we're going to taste some stuff and some things like that. So, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Noel Drinks Show. And we're chatting here with Edward Hike, distiller at Cajun Spirits Distilling. Yep, right here in the city of New Orleans. Come on back.
The world got still. I'm learning to fly.
Oregon wines are taking over New Orleans. The reason? They're delicious. Next time you're shopping for wine, grab a bottle of Sass Wine. Located in the South Salem Hills of Oregon's Willamette Valley, Sass Wine produces small amounts of handcrafted, high-quality wines that include Pinot Noir, Pinot Blanc, Pinot Gris, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and Rosé of Syrah. A perfect balance of full fruit with fine, supple tannins and firm acidity is what makes truly great wines, and you'll find that in every bottle of Sass Wine you drink.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Savory crab meat cheesecake and decadent white chocolate bread pudding are Palace Cafe originals. For nearly 26 years, Palace Cafe has been serving award-winning cuisine in the historic Warline Music Building. Located on Canal Street at the edge of the French Quarter, Palace Cafe is open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and open for jazz brunch on the weekends. Make sure to try one of their refined classic cocktails or a glass of wine from their nationally recognized wine list. Palace Cafe is located at 605 Canal Street.
My sister got lucky, married a yuppie, took him for all.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in today. We are here at Cajun Spirits Distilling here in New Orleans, and we are chatting with Edward Hike, who is the distiller and one half of a brother duo, along with his brother Gus, who started Cajun Spirits Distilling back a number of years ago, 2010, and opened up in 2011. And we got, Edward, a bit about the background of your brother and how this kind of all happened, and then paperwork getting done, and and here we go. And then how did you find yourself involved? How did you get drafted into the business?
Is that
a fair word?
No, kind of. I think mercenary, to whatever version that is. I started kind of part-time. I used to be a teacher, and so I was an elementary teacher. And so I had vacations, and we had weekends. So my brother and I would come in on weekends, and I would come in on my vacation time, and we'd, you know, put this place together. When some of the tanks showed up, some of our blending tanks, some of our fermentation tanks, and definitely the still, that showed up on a shipping container. And so...
Where did you get those from?
The tanks are Bavarian.
Okay.
Bavarian, my brother could tell you the exact name, but the Bavarian company. And then the still is Arnold Holstein out of Germany.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a custom-built still for us. Which is pretty cool. They build it, they put it together, and then they basically take it apart and send you the pieces.
Okay.
So then you have all the pieces sent to you, you open it up, and start putting it together, you know, like a giant Lego set or something like that.
A little
that.
More difficult than IKEA.
Yeah, like a little bit more complex than IKEA. Luckily, my brother has, some good experience with systems, and so he was able to really take the lead in putting that together, and that got put together over the course of about a week and a half.
So you got then. So you're helping him out, just getting that to put together.
We're helping him out. You know, unloading the shipping container was really the most challenging. It was basically us and a few of our friends, and we had the forklift here already, and still our forklift that you know does so much work for us, and just getting those things out, dragging them out, and trying not to break anything. Luckily, nothing got broken. And then standing them up. I mean, that was the beginning of actually seeing this place begin to take shape, you know, was taking out those tanks and getting the still. And all of a sudden, you're like, okay, this could actually work. This could actually be something.
This is happening, right?
Yeah, right.
We've assembled these pieces, and now they've got to be set in motion and do something.
Right, exactly.
So now you, how did you go then from sort of being a mercenary, as you said, or helping out on weekends and holidays to being here now every day?
So I guess it was 2014, and we had everything set up. We had set everything up. We got all of our permits so we could officially begin distilling. And my brother needed somebody over here full time. And I had been teaching about 5 years, and I was ready to, you know, maybe take a little break from teaching. And he said, you want to come over here and manage the place and be, you know, be our distiller and get this place off the ground? I said, yeah, that'd be fine, but I don't know anything about this business, you know? And he said, don't worry, you'll learn, you know? And that's what we did. We started... I started learning at that point and learning about fermentations, learning about distilling. We started off in small carboys, you know, the glass home brewing carboys. We started off there. We started off doing variations in yeast and sugar content and just basically doing all of our recipes on that level. Distilling, we have two different stills. We have the 300-gallon and we have a small 8-gallon test still. So we were just doing the 8-gallon test still all the time, and we finally found a variation we liked, and then we bumped it up. I think from 6 gallons we went to 50 gallons fermenting in a stainless steel drum, and then from 50 gallons we went to 500 gallons in our blending tanks.
And those are challenges too. I think a lot of people don't know that it's not just simply multiply times 5.
Yeah.
Or multiply times 10. It's a little harder to scale up than that.
It is. And then also the thing that you run into all the time is you can have an idea to, you can have a recipe and you can bump it up and figure out that. But then comes the practicalities of dealing with that much sugar or that much water or whatever you have, you know, and making sure that your system can handle that kind of volume to make sure that you physically have a way to handle this kind of volume. You know what I mean? Because when you, for example, we used to mix our sugar in 45-gallon pots. So that's how we started off, was making our syrup in these 45-gallon pots, and it took forever. So finally, just recently, we got a sugar kettle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got a giant steam-powered kettle with a mixer in there. And then we take a look at this thing, and we have these totes, these 2,000-pound totes of sugar that we get from Lula West Sugar Mill. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, wait, how the hell are we going to get the sugar in the kettle, right, you know? Right. So, because I used to just scoop it and put it into the pots. And I'm like, there's no way I can scoop this, you know? This isn't scoopable. So, so then we had to figure out, okay, how are we going to get the sugar in the kettle? And we did. And that is a example of just all the way from the beginning to now. Is how I've been like, how the hell are we going to do this?
Yeah, and learn as you go, right?
Yeah.
Come up with a solution.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure I'm imagining like with the sugar kettle situation, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be great because we've got this proper device to do this.
Exactly.
We're not going to do this in the pot anymore. And then you get to that point, you're like, oh, but there's this.
right. Wait a second. Right. How do we get it in there? And it's like, oh crap.
Man.
Right. That's the story of this place.
That's cool. And I mean, in any small sort of bootstrapping operation like that, I mean, you're going to encounter those things. So those are the challenges that you have to overcome to make it work.
Right. And I tend to have the more practical, like, let's do it this way, kind of this, like, the rough draft kind of way. Like, let's just push it in there or whatever. And my brother is very much more the technical, like...
Engineer, Navy guy.
Like, we're going to engineer and weld a situation for this. And so we end up somewhere around the middle, you know, getting stuff done the best we can.
Right. And it's coming along well. And, I mean, how long have you... So you've been here full-time since about 2014?
About 3 years.
So about 3 years.
Summer of 2014 I started. And... yeah, so 3 years I've been over here.
And when did you guys put out your first bottles commercially?
Our first bottles were September of 2015.
Okay.
So that was Crescent Vodka, came out September of 2015. That was the first time that we sold an order to our distributor, Southern Eagle.
Right.
Yeah.
And that must have been a day of pride as well.
It was a huge day of pride. I mean, just finding a distributor to begin with, that was tricky. And then we found right. Southern Eagle, went with them, sold it to them. The biggest proud moment that I had, or... one of them is when I went to Pal's Lounge and they had bought our vodka and they have it there. And that was the first time that I bought a drink with my own vodka that I made, you know, coming from a bottle that I labeled and bottled. And I just couldn't stop smiling. That was a wonderful moment.
That's very cool. Yeah. And I can absolutely imagine that's a really cool thing when you sit there in the pride of all the fruits of your labor that you've talked about and all the flashing back of, man, the sugar and the kettle.
Oh,
and
man. But, you know, because we're so hands-on, you know, I always get that feeling when I see our bottles anywhere. It's like, oh, I labeled that bottle.
Right.
And I made the stuff that's in it. You know what I mean?
That's great.
And I know it's good, so... yeah, it makes me happy.
That's really cool. That's exciting. And it's really cool. The packaging that you guys have is really neat. We got about a minute left before we take another break here, Edward.
Sure.
So let's tee this up. Is what we're going to do in the next segment is we're going to taste through some stuff and talk about what it is that you make.
Sure.
And, among other things. But right now, you have a vodka and a gin currently available.
Yep.
And you guys are doing a rum also, right?
Yeah, we're working on this rum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some people love it and some people don't. So it just depends, you know. Some people are rum heads and they love that funky rum.
Yeah,
you know,
I do. We talked about that last
time.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that this time too.
Sure.
So that sounds really good. Well, let's do this. We're gonna take our little commercial break here, and we're gonna come back. We're gonna taste through some vodka and some gin, and I think a little bit of rum because I see some sitting over there on the shelf. I'll just invite myself to it. I hope that's cool.
That's cool.
We're here in the soon to be open tasting room here, friends at Cajun Spirits Distilling here in New Orleans. We're chatting with Edward Hike, who is the distiller. So we'll take a little break here on the show. We're gonna talk a little bit more. We're gonna taste. Come on back.
Shake things up or find the bartender in you? We mean literally. At the New Orleans Drink Lab, you'll do just that. We teach you the history and tradition of classic New Orleans cocktails. Then you get behind the bar and make them. Master classes are fun, interactive, and hands-on. Great for small groups and team building. Come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. You mix, muddle, and master the art of cocktail making. Visit us at 343 Barone Street. Or go to our website, drinklabnola.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region. Producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood. Or our bold, rich Petite Sirah, excellent with steak. To our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
With the season's beautiful weather, it's a perfect time to take a drive across Lake Pontchartrain and visit New Orleans' only local vineyard and winery, Pontchartrain Vineyards. Our tasting room is open Wednesday through Sunday from noon till 4, or by appointment. Come enjoy a flight of our wines in our classically styled French Provençal tasting room, or pack a picnic lunch and enjoy a bottle of wine on our patio overlooking the vineyard. While you're there, ask about our wine club. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. If you're listening to this show, you love good food and good wine. And a great wine with our plentiful fresh Gulf seafood is the Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc, a crisp, balanced white blend from the south of France. Whether it's with fresh oysters, crab, redfish, or shrimp, this Domaine St. Rose Coquille Blanc will not disappoint. And it's a great value at around $14. Domaine St. Rose, Coquille Blanc. Cheers.
McNally. Welcome to the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, NOLA Drinks Edition. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you are. Thanks for tuning into the show. As you know, we're here chatting with Edward Hike, who is the distiller at Cajun Spirits Distillery, and he is in a partnership, as we were talking about, with his brother, Gus, and they built the place by scratch. And one thing I want to say is that, you know, Gus wasn't able to make it today, but if Gus is listening a little bit later on, Edward, you're doing a fine, fine job.
Thank you very much.
So, Gus, don't worry. It's all going good, man.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, you can call me later. So,
yeah, because he still has his day job. Kind of one of our next big step is going to be when we can support having him here full time. So,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. And is that kind of it? Is there a, I know these things are always tough to predict, but is there a sort of a timeline in place for hopefully for that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think within the year he'll be able to be over here full time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So then, you know, we'll be, you know, even on a more solid footing as well.
That's
so
great.
That's great.
And more brother grappling.
Oh, yeah. Constantly. Yeah. The arguments will become epic.
Yeah. Well, we were talking a little bit before we went away on the break, Edward. So this, you know, we're going to do a little tasting here. And one of the things that you mentioned at the top is a lot of emphasis on, so everything that you guys do is with sugarcane base, right?
Yes.
Here?
Yeah.
And it's local.
Yes. It's all 100% Louisiana sugarcane. We get it from Lula West, which is in Pancorville, which is near Donaldsonville, White Castle, that area. Mm-hmm. That was our goal when we started this place. You know, I think I've said it before, is that just Louisiana agriculture turned into fine spirits. And what we basically do is we make a syrup out of the sugarcane. We get it granulated, and we make a syrup out of it, and then we make a sugar wash, sugar shine. I call it sugarcane wine.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's basically what it is. It comes out like a white wine.
Mm-hmm.
And about 12-14%, we pump it into the still, and that's where we get our alcohol from. Every drop of our alcohol, whether it's in our vodka or gin, it all comes from that fermentation, from our own fermentation that we do here.
And you, so it, the same sugar wine or sugar shine is used the same base entirely. You guys don't vary the base from one spirit to the next?
Well, for the rum, yes. So
okay, sure.
So the rum, we use molasses and sugar because right. The molasses is going to give you a lot of great flavors.
Mm-hmm.
With the vodka, we just use the sugar, and then we take our vodka once it's finished, and that's what we add botanicals to, and then redistill for our gin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's taste the vodka, man, if you don't
sure,
mind.
Sure.
And that's this guy.
That's this guy right here.
So tell us a little bit about this one specifically.
So we do two runs. We do a stripping run, and then we do a final run. Our goal is to create a vodka that has character. So we don't want it to be just flavorless.
Neutral
no,
spirit, yeah.
We want it to have some remnant of the ingredient, the base ingredient, the sugar cane.
Mm-hmm.
And you might notice that it has a tiny hint of sweetness.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like it, like you said, because it has character. And I get a floral. We talked about this before when we were visiting. There's a floral note on it that's very
mm-hmm.
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is not neutral. And it also, I think, has a good body mm-hmm. that some other vodkas don't. And because we do our own fermentation and when we start from that ingredient, somebody used the word terroir one time, mm-hmm. and I think, yeah, I go with that, you know.
I like that. You know, sugarcane, it's an agricultural product.
That's
it
right.
grows in a particular, you guys get it from a particular place.
That's right.
It has a particular set of characteristics
yeah.
to it, so
yeah.
without
and,
a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, you know, hopefully not being too pretentious about it, but I think our vodka does kind of feel like you're in, you know, in the South. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
It
okay.
has, it,
yeah.
it, and I think we can authentically say that because we make it from scratch, you know.
The one thing I like about it too, because we talk about it, as you said, Edward, it has some character to it, and that bit of sweetness, and as well as I kind of like that sort of floral and a little bit of sort of honeysuckle note, I guess I get from it.
Yeah, and I think it has a kind of a body or a earthiness to it as well.
There is an earthiness to it,
yeah.
absolutely. And like you said, also with the mouth feels a little bit more viscous in a nice way than a lot of vodkas can be.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say is I think it would be
really nice. It would shine in a drink really well. Just even like something straightforward like a vodka Collins, right? Because I think the vodka is actually going to pop and have some character and bring something to the drink.
Yeah, yeah, and it blends incredibly well with vermouth as well.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. In a nice vodka martini, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I really like your gin, so let's go there now, because that's something awesome that you guys make. So tell us about that one, man. While I sip.
Oh, man. Our gin, like I said, we start with our finished vodka. So after we carbon filter it, but before we proof it down to bottle proof, that's when we add our herbs. And then we distill it in our small still. So our gin is actually made about 30 bottles at a time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So it is a small batch gin. And why
is that? Just because, does that help showcase the botanicals that are in it a little better, or?
For our purposes right now, it's kind of a practical issue because as we run the stripping still for the vodka and we keep our vodka production going, you know, then we're using the smaller still. And also just the amount of ingredients we would need to do a 300-gallon batch of gin would be monstrous.
That's a lot of botanicals.
That's a lot of botanicals. Yeah, I mean, you're talking a lot of juniper. So so we still do it on the small still, hoping one day that we'll, you know, move up to that next level. And especially because people seem to love it, so.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think.
I think it's great. And one of the things that we talked about when we were here visiting a few weeks back was, and people who listen to the show regularly know this, I'm not a huge big-time juniper guy, you know, the London Dry style of gin. That just doesn't do it for me. Yeah. This certainly has a nice juniper note to it, but it's the other things going on are very manifest as well.
Yeah, thanks. You know, this was a recipe that we negotiated over many, many iterations, and we're always tweaking it just a little bit here and there. But we wanted to kind of split the difference between a London Dry and something more floral like a Hendrix. So we wanted it to be approachable and yet still not be so so floral that you're going to lose the juniper, because I like the juniper note. Mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you do too. But also not to be smacked in the face with juniper as soon as you...
It tends to run over everything else in that style, which if that's what you like, then that's fine.
And also with this gin, I think your second sip, you'll find that the florals open up as well.
Because let me do that while you're talking.
Sure. On the first sip, your tongue registers some of the oils, some of the juniper and the coriander. And on your second sip, because your tongue's used to that, you catch some of the stuff on the back.
More of the lemon and the kind of the citrusy note.
There's a citrusy note there. There is maybe a touch of lavender that you might taste.
Absolutely.
Ginger's in there as well.
Mm-hmm. In the first sip, Edward, I got a little bit of a berry, but more of like a red berry kind of berry.
Mm.
But you guys do the whole berry, the whole juniper berry, right?
We do. Yeah, we put the whole berry in the kettle.
Right, and so I think that kind of brings some of that flavor, and that's really where a lot of the citrus note comes from, right?
Yeah, I mean, from what I can understand, and once again, you know, I've been distilling now about 3 years, so I'm not a master in any way. However, from what we've done in our different experiments, is that we get kind of deep into the berry, so to speak.
Right.
So we get kind of to the core of the berry. That's kind of what brings up some of that. What can seem like a citrus note is actually sometimes the oils in the berry.
Right.
That's my personal theory. So
that makes sense.
If any of your listeners have any other information, please let me know.
Okay, fair enough. Because, you know, I actually thought it was, when I asked you when we tasted this, when we visited recently, I thought it was actually lemongrass, because that's kind of the very specific citrus note that I get. More, you know, like a lemon peel, lemongrass kind of note, but that's not what's going on.
No, there's no lemongrass in there.
Yeah.
And we have 7 ingredients total.
Okay.
So we try not to be overwhelming in terms of 30 ingredients or whatever.
Right. And it's nice because it actually, you can taste the different things. Nothing's running over anything.
Right.
And again, this is one that, you know, nice, just chilled, nice with a little bit of juice. I could also see this as being nice with just a little bit of soda, you know.
This is what I drink when I go home. So I just drink gin on the rocks. That's me. Yeah. Or last night it was gin and a lime LaCroix.
Yeah, that's perfect.
It was super.
Dropping a little bit of ice in a rosemary sprig, man, we're all set. Well, let's do this. We're going to take another break here. We're going to be back. We're going to taste the rum, and we're going to taste something extra special and exotic. I'm going to say it that way. Ooh. Friends, here we are on the Noel Drink Show. We're going to take a little break. We are chatting with Edward Hike, distiller here at Cajun Spirits Distilling. Yep, right here in the heart of New Orleans. Come on back. Louisiana blues.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickie Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickie Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
Hey ladies, are you looking for wine to bring to your next girls' night out? Grab a bottle of Capitello wines and enjoy the taste of fruit from Oregon's Willamette Valley. Capitello has a wide variety of wines to choose from. Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Noir, dessert wine, and a Brut Sparkling that's a blend of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. He'll even stop by next time he's in town. So grab the girls, have fun, and enjoy Capitello wine. Cheers.
Are you looking for a great place to enjoy great handcrafted and vintage cocktails? Victory is located at 339 Barone Street in the heart of downtown New Orleans. We have a variety of spirits, a talented team of bartenders, and great gourmet small plates. Our mission? To preserve an era when cocktails were made with artistry and pride. Grab your friends and come enjoy the ultimate cocktail experience. Give us a call to book your next private event or go to our website, victorynola.com. See you soon. Cheers.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening in. We're here at Cajun Spirits Distilling in New Orleans, chatting with Edward Hike, who is the distiller here, partnered up with his brother Gus, and they run the show here. And one of the things, Edward, that I wanted to mention that we didn't get to, he tasted the excellent vodka and the excellent gin, but the names, it's Crescent Vodka and Third Ward Gin.
That's right, that's right. Crescent Vodka, named after the Crescent City, and Third Ward is the ward that we're in now.
Right.
Yeah.
So very New Orleansian name. And we'll have some pictures up on our Facebook page and on the website and stuff like that so you can see. Cause I think the packaging's really cool.
Thanks.
Just got, yeah, man, it's got just, you know, a nice color version of the state of Louisiana and then, you know, Crescent Vodka and Third Ward Gin.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. So tell us, let's sip on the rum. Let's talk about the rum and then maybe use that as a little bit more of a springboard. I think this probably fits to talk a little bit more about the still as well.
Oh yeah, actually, it that'd be perfect because rum is such a, you want those flavors in there, so you're not going to run the still. You're not going to get the same level of refinement.
And what type of still is it again, just so people know?
It's a fractionating still, or okay. I guess you call it maybe a column still or a double column still.
Okay.
With bubble plates.
So it's in that column still family.
It's in the column still family.
Right.
But the really cool thing about our still is how versatile it is. So we can actually, we have two columns. We have a tall column with 12 plates in it, and we have a shorter column with 4 plates in it. And like I said, those are bubble plates, so you can look those up online or whatever,
okay. Yeah.
So you know what we're talking about. But we can bypass the first column completely.
Oh, okay.
So when I do a stripping run, I don't use the first column. I just use the second column with the 4 plates. But when I do a final run, I use the first column. I use all 12 plates in the first column.
Okay.
And so that allows us to, or when I do my rum, we can open up the plates themselves, so it's basically becomes a pot still.
Right, okay.
So anywhere from 0 to 16 plates gives you a lot of versatility in what kind of flavor you want to get out of your spirit.
Great, and so that, and then you're able to play that with the different spirit that you're making, right, to achieve the personality and flavor that you want
right,
to have.
Right, exactly. So like the rum, I run it like a pot still.
Mm-hmm.
With the vodka, I get as much reflux as I can.
Okay.
Get it to that 95%, you know,
right,
that I need.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the rum. You were mentioning, you know, rum people, rum nerds, rum heads. I'm one of those people, I suppose. It's the, what's, and this is the Tresillo rum.
Tresillo, yeah.
Yep. And where does the name Tresillo come from? I'm curious.
Tresillo is that beat. It's a very New Orleans beat. It's the Ico beat. It's a technically it's a 1-2-3-1-2-3-1-2. So it's a 1-2-3-1-2-3-1-2-1-2-3.
Yep. That one. That's it.
That's a Tresillo. Mm-hmm. That's how it was taught to me as a Tresillo.
Right on.
Yeah.
Think a lot of the meters.
Right.
That'll help you out there. Yeah, Hey Pocky Way would be maybe a good example of exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, okay, cool. And so, but tell us about the rum, man. So
the rum, like I said before, is mostly molasses, some sugarcane blend. And then
of course, we do our fermentation here. And what ends up happening is, because of the molasses and because of the sugar cane, you get a real funky, funky rum.
Right.
And then when you take that funk and you put it in a barrel, all that funk kind of clears up and transforms into some really rich, buttery notes. Caramel, of course, from the char in the barrel. And you end up with this, which I like. A lot of other people said they liked. Some people do not like. It just depends.
You know, it's funny, and you know this, so because we've had this conversation before. I like funky rum, so I like the Dunder thing, and I like a lot of the Caribbean-style rums that have that going on. Like Smith and Cross is one of my favorite rums, and it has that funkiness. And yeah. if you know what we're talking about, it's what we're talking about. and
if you get it, you get it.
If you get it, you get it. And I really do. I really do like it, and this rum shows it very nicely. Now, not like it's not overwhelming,
right?
And I do get the nice, you know, molasses versus sugarcane note on this, and I get almost a cherry kind of note on it as well.
I could taste that,
yeah, especially like in the mid palate where there's that sort of bright. Yeah. And I don't get like the dark stone fruit as much as I get like a cherry note on it.
Yeah, and you know what else? I find it very dry. I don't know if you do the same.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, once again, we don't add anything back to any of our spirits. We don't add any glycerin back. We don't bump up our yields with ethanol. And, I mean, whenever we have a banker come in here and tell us about what we should do, the mm-hmm. banker's always like, well, why don't you just buy industrial-grade ethanol and bottle it and redistill it and bottle it? And it's like, that's not what we do,
right,
you know?
Right.
That may work for other people, but that doesn't work for us.
You're going to lose the character of what it is that you're trying to achieve.
Exactly, or you're not going to have any character.
It's not going to, right. It's a dime a dozen. You can get that from any big maker out there. Right. That's not why you're doing this.
Right. But this rum specifically, this was the first rum I ever made. So I made 500 gallons of this rum. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's still experimental. We haven't released it yet. But I thought I messed it up big time because it was so funky. And I had a Caribbean. I had a woman from Trinidad come through who now works for the yeast company. And I said, well, I made a rum, but I think I messed it up. And she came and she smelled the barrel and she said, oh, no, 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 no. You didn't mess this up at all. She said, put that in a barrel. It's gonna be great. And so we did. And this is how it came out.
I dig it. And do you guys know when you're planning on putting it out?
No.
Nope. Fair enough.
But if you'd like to taste it, feel free to come by the
distillery. Got it in the tasting room. It's out in the tasting room.
That's right.
Well, let's. This is kind of special, this one. And when we visited recently, this was one of my favorites because it's very unique. Tell us about the Japanese plum vodka.
Yeah, the Japanese plum. So I grew up eating these Japanese plums. Ronnie Burgess wrote a great poem called Ode to a Japanese Plum. And they're also known as a loquat, but they're a local fruit that grows around town. All over the South, I've seen them in Texas. I've seen them in everywhere in Florida. But so we did an infusion with the Japanese plum, and a lot of people have really responded well to it.
I think it's great. There's a cool part of the story, too, that it's a special... You have a special connection to the Japanese plum. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, yeah. These Japanese plums came from my house.
It's your ancestral home also.
And right, it's my ancestral home, right. So I used to climb the parent tree when I was a little kid, and I grew up eating them my entire life. And some people call them misbelieves.
Okay, yeah.
Some people call them pick-em-eat-ems. Mm-hmm. the official name is a loquat. I like Japanese plum. That's what I grew up saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So
and we were talking about, too, because like some people don't like the tree. But as you said, one of the things I like about what you said is that they usually come ripe right around Mardi Gras.
That's
so
right.
What's not to like about that?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. They're flowering right now, and the fruits will come in probably around December, January. And then by February, they'll be nice and orange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really fun, too, because this is just really would be, you know, nice on the rocks or nice, neat, mm-hmm. like we're having it now. Yeah. Any particular cocktail that you would do with this?
You know, I still haven't found that cocktail blend for it because it has a kind of a nuttiness, like in a amaretto. Or,
yeah, right.
And but it has a little bit of a sweetness too. I feel like it's versatile, but I haven't played around with it enough yet to lock in.
So here's what we do, because you can come taste this in the tasting room. So any of my bartender friends or home bar friends out there listening to the show, come pay you a visit. And taste some of this and think about what it is that you can do with this, and especially if it's hopefully going to be on the market fairly soon, then you can put it in your bar and do a featured cocktail. Yeah, and then let us know what you do.
Right, right. Let us know, and we'll put it up on the website or something.
Cool, awesome. Yeah. Well, Edward, we have a little bit over a minute left here before we go, so I want to thank you very much for hosting today.
Oh, yeah, thanks cool for coming by. It was nice to see you.
Absolutely, man. Definitely my pleasure, and thanks for sharing some of the wonderful stuff that you're doing here. Can you tell people where the website is, where the distillery is, how they can connect with you online and in person?
Yeah, sure. You can check us out online at CajunSpirits.com. Our spirits are sold all over the city. You go to Rouse's, Dorniak's, Martin's, like I mentioned, Powell's before. Yeah, a few bars around town. And then you can come by 2532 Poydras. I'm here pretty much every day. And for your listeners, feel free to email me, ed@CajunSpirits.com, if they want to come through. And hopefully we'll be starting the tasting room up on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays relatively soon.
Pretty soon. It's a cool tasting room that you guys have going on in here. And it's a nice welcoming space, and we look forward to that happening. So, Edward, let us know when it does open officially.
Yeah.
And we'll be back to help you celebrate. So, again, thanks, man. I really appreciate you taking time out this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Friends, that was Edward Hike, who is the distiller here at Cajun Spirits Distilling here in New Orleans. A lot of fun. Come check him out. Check him out online, CajunSpirits.com. Pay him a visit. Edward will be here. Got to pull him away from the still once in a while, but he's happy to come into the tasting room and pour for you. And Gus Edward did a great job, by the way. Just want to close out with that again. Take a little break here on the show. We're going to be back with a little bit more. Come on back.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards with Sazerac Rye Whiskey. It's football and festival season, and there's no better way to enjoy Sazerac Rye than in a pothole cocktail. Just fill up a glass with ice and your favorite root beer and add 2 ounces of Sazerac Rye for a truly tasty toddy. Named after the city's most iconic of inconveniences, the pothole is proof that New Orleans never takes itself too seriously. Sazerac Rye Whiskey, the way New Orleans does whiskey.
Hi, this is Jeff Craner with the award-winning Nottingham Cellars, located in Livermore Valley, California's oldest wine-growing region, producers of fine wines. Try our clean, crisp 1846 Chardonnay, an ideal pairing with New Orleans seafood, or our bold, rich Petit Sirah, excellent with steak, to our flagship Bordeaux-style blend, Supremacy. You can find our wines in finer restaurants throughout New Orleans. Hope you enjoy our wines.
Hey, New Orleans, Jack Jelenko here, local wine guy. Want a great alternative to over-oak Chardonnay? Try Yamhill Valley Vineyards Pinot Blanc, a wonderfully balanced white wine from the oldest family estate in McMinnville, Oregon, in the Willamette Valley. It's round and ripe like a Chardonnay, but without the heavy oak and sweetness of big commercial corporate Chardonnays. Yamhill Valley Vineyard Pinot Blanc, a great value under $20. Ask for it wherever you buy wine. Cheers.
The French Market offers daily entertainment and delicious food and drink options throughout our 6-block district. Whether you crave raw oysters or fresh produce, authentic confections or healthy daiquiris, you can find it here. Sit at one of our cafes and hear live local music. Enjoy a muffaletta, po' boy, salad, or cheese plate in the Farmer's Market. Check out our pop-up Farmer's Markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays for even more fresh food options. History is being made fresh daily at the French Market. Visit frenchmarket.org for food, drink, retail, and event listings.
Are you looking for the best buns? Well, we have them at Bayou Burger in the Quarter. Wait till you bite into one of our acclaimed burgers like the Cowboy Burger, Tiebreaker Shrimp Burger, the world-famous Gator Burger, or you can build your own with endless combinations. It's all fresh meat, never ever frozen. Everywhere you look, there's big screen TVs where you'll never miss a minute of the action. Boasting the largest balcony dining in the French Quarter, you can watch all the action pass you by on the street. Find the best burgers in action at Bayou Burger. 501 Bourbon at St. Louis for the best buns on bourbon. It's Bayou Burger, baby.
Did you know that there's a vineyard and winery making quality table wines just 1 hour north of New Orleans? At Pontchartrain Vineyards, we produce award-winning wines from our 15-acre vineyard, as well as premium wine grapes sourced from the West Coast. Try our light, crisp, Louisiana-grown Blanc du Bois, or have a glass of Chardonnay, Zinfandel, or our Cab Syrah blend made right here in Louisiana. There's something for everyone at Pontchartrain Vineyards. For more information, go to PontchartrainVineyards.com.
Hi, I'm Dickie Brennan, and I'd like to invite you to our new Black Duck Bar located on the second floor of Palace Cafe, named after the Prohibition's infamous rum runner, The Black Duck features over 120 rums, as well as an extensive tequila collection. In addition, acclaimed master French chef Rene Bajot heads up the Small Plates and Charcuterie Kitchen. Join us for happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. with half-price small plates, local draft beer, and tap wine.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hey, Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for tuning in and listening today. As always, always appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Edward there at Cajun Spirits Distilling. Had a lot of fun chatting with him. I know we talked about the rum, Japanese plum vodka, which is very interesting and very good, and I like the story behind that. And then we chatted, of course, about their vodka and their gin, their two primary products that are available outside the distillery. And both very nice. I like how they're using local Louisiana sugarcane, as they mentioned, for the base of these things, pretty much everything. And the vodka did have some very nice character to it. I found some floral, some honeysuckle, as I said. And I really like the gin, I said during the interview as well. I'm just not a big juniper balm gin guy. And I found that theirs was very nice and kind of a little bit different. And I did want to circle back on something I was saying right before we started the segments there with Edward about, you know, the understanding the production side of things. I'm certainly not trying to disparage anyone. I'm not trying to say that folks that maybe are behind the stick at the bar or sommeliers are not familiar with this or don't understand it. But I do think that there are good examples, or there are enough people out there that are in those roles that maybe don't appreciate it, or really, I shouldn't say appreciate it, really don't understand it. I'm going to say that as well as perhaps that they should. And I think when you have that deeper connection to the production side of things and an understanding of where these things come from and the blood, sweat, and tears very often that people put into making this stuff, that you have a deeper respect for it and probably maybe even a little bit more tolerance for trying new things and some of these things, and maybe being a little bit more patient with some of your local producers if you're thinking that their stuff is not quite up to snuff, and give them some time and these sorts of things, because we want to be supportive in that regard. So that's just kind of where I'm going. I probably didn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense, but again, I encourage everyone to learn about the production of these things, and it's always interesting reading anyway to learn about distillation or winemaking or beer making or food production, as I said. But anyway, I wanted to talk about in this particular segment South Africa Wine Week. And I did mention that at the top of the show that we here at NOLA Drinks are the official broadcast partner of that week-long event, or really kind of a series or collection of events. Things kick off on October 30th, Monday, and then continue through November 5th, the Sunday. And there's all kinds of stuff going on around town where you can go connect with South African wines. Now, if you listen to the show, and we've talked about South African wines before, but most recently, the radio broadcast, that was September 14th, and the podcast the next day, of course, on Friday, September 15th, we sat down and interviewed Jim Clark, who is the U.S. market manager for Wines of South Africa, otherwise known as WOSA. And we talked with Jim for a couple segments about some broad stroke stuff about South African wines, its interesting history. I think one of the points of the event to be made is, although, you know, South Africa and New Orleans and this part of the world don't necessarily have a direct cultural connection, there are some historical parallels that have gone on, and we talk about that during that interview. I won't necessarily go too far down that road. That'll be something that we do get into in coming shows and during that week. So I think we share some similar interests, cultural diversity, some of these things that have gone on there, as well as some deeper and more troubling issues, of course, of what's gone on there in South Africa as well as here. And again, this isn't a history lesson, so I think we all know what I'm talking about, and we'll talk more about that stuff later. But it's a really fascinating story. You know, winemaking has gone on there since the 16th century, but really has only come into its own, arguably, maybe in the past 20, probably less, 10, 12 years. And one of the things that I find that's really cool about South African wines is that every year I taste them, they get better. And what Jim had been doing over the past few years when he would come into town was doing a seminar or masterclass primarily for folks in the wine and restaurant business. And we taste different wines and do different things. He's done that for a while. And this has now kind of morphed into something a little bigger with South Africa Wine Week that will allow all kinds of folks, you don't have to be in the industry, to connect with South African wines. wines. But one of the things that I've said before that I think is really neat is kind of, you know, and I will drink South African wine definitely throughout the year, you know, here and there, mixing it up with all kinds of other things wine-wise that I like to drink. But to kind of get that snapshot, which I've had once a year of a concentrated tasting of numerous wines, it's kind of interesting because you see the wines continue to get better every single year all the time. And I think there's a couple factors that go on. We talk a little bit about that with Jim, but in a nutshell, I think you've found the maturity of the winemaking where there's been an understanding of it being its own region and being, you know, having an identity true to itself. And what sometimes connects to that, of course, is people growing what they're supposed to be growing in the right place. I think that sometimes takes time to develop, finding the particular varietals that you can grow, as opposed to, and this kind of related to what I just said, but particular varietals that you should be growing or can grow well and effectively, not just sort of force feeding a particular varietal because it's popular around the world or, you know, driven by the market entirely. You can help drive the market by doing something really well. Read New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, right? So that's kind of one of the things that I think with South Africa that's very interesting. Of course, white wine is really dominated by Chenin Blanc, which is a great wine. Goes great with the food in Southeast Louisiana in New Orleans because that acidity will stand up to a little bit of spice. It's also very refreshing. I think you can find something as a Chardonnay drinker or a Sauvignon Blanc drinker in Chenin. It's great seasonal in the warmer weather here. Goes really good with a lot of the Creole dishes. Spice goes good with some of the Asian dishes, Vietnamese food, actually. Some of the stuff that we do have is very prevalent in the area like that. That's not just, you know, New Orleans food. And so there you go. We're going to, you know, basically focus on some of that. They're the largest, South Africa is the largest producer of Chenin Blanc in the world. And so there you go. They've kind of hung their hat on that one, among many other things. A lot of great blends, which is pretty typical there. All kinds of different styles, ranging from very clean stainless steel, single fermented white wines to, you know, bigger, bolder blended red wines with some oak and really everything in between. The other thing I really like about it is there's a lot of great price points to be found in South African wines. Most of these wines don't break the bank. You can find really, I think, you know, and there are some that are certainly more expensive, but typically what we see in the market in most places in the U.S. and New Orleans is no exception is, you know, I'm not aware, and I'm sure there are some, so don't get me wrong. Most of the stuff that I see ranges from about $10 up to maybe low 30s. And that's about it. So you can find a fine bottle in that range. I've had some really good ones lately. And go check those out. It's really good. It's a little easy on the pocketbook. Some nice wines to explore. Let's get to the week here. That's probably an important thing, what you want to know about. And as I said, these different events are taking place and more will be rounded out as we go. Where you want to go to find out about the events, the particulars, and then more as they are added is going to be the Wines of South Africa US site, which is just www.wosa.us/events. Again, www.wosa.us/events. Of course, WOSA, WOSA. And it's .us, not .com. Just be aware of that. But some people participating coming up. Some stuff's kind of going. People are doing, like, say, tastings or having things open throughout the week. Some people are doing one-off specific things. But let me mention what's going on so far. Bacchanal is doing something on Wednesday, November 1st from 1 to 3 p.m. They're going to do a bit of a tasting of various South African wines. Also that day from 4 to 6 p.m. So you can just do the circuit. Go to Bacchanal Wednesday afternoon. Cut out of work. There you go. And then head over to Brennan's. Bacchanal's at 600 Poland Avenue. But Brennan's 417 Royal Street. They're going to do some, looks like small plate stuff and some aperitif wines with Chenin Blanc taking center stage there. So snacks and kind of Chenin Blanc driven stuff, 4 to 6 p.m. at Brennan's. Pearl Wine Company, 3700 Orleans Avenue. Jim Clark's going to be there and they're doing their regular tasting, I believe. Yeah, Thursday, November 2nd, as I said, their regular tasting, 5 to 7 p.m. is going to be all about South African wines. You can go talk to Jim. Good guy, very knowledgeable guy and a nice guy. Wednesday, November 1st, Simone's Market. They're doing a tasting of 4 South African wines from 5 to 7 p.m. And it looks like Jim will be there as well. So week-long events, Maypop and Mofo, Michael Galata's restaurants, the special selection of South African wines by the glass in both situations. So either Maypop 611 O'Keefe or Mofo 514 City Park Ave has stuff going on. Wine Institute of New Orleans 610 Chapatoulas is offering a special selection selection of South African wines by the glass throughout the week, and Effervescence Nola, the new primarily sparkling oriented, that's kind of their gist, bar on 1036 North Rampart Street. It's going to do a special selection of South African Méthode Cap Classique wine. So I believe we're going to be doing some South African sparkling there, stuff made in the traditional champagne method. Two more to add that are confirmed but not yet on the website. Mobar there on Rampart also, sister restaurant of Cavan and Sylvain. They are going to be doing some select South African wines by the glass. And I believe what the plan is they're going to do some recommended pairings, and that's going to go on for most, if not the entire week. Also, the Martin Wine Cellar in Mandeville is going to be Tuesday on Tuesday the 31st, Wednesday the 1st, and then Thursday the 2nd. They're going to have just wines open in the late afternoon, and they're going to do a red and a white on the Tuesday and Wednesday, and then culminate with several of them, probably the stuff from the days before, maybe one or two others on their Thursday tasting from like 4 to 6:30, complimentary. Go check that out. They have a pretty good selection of South African wines, and there's going to be a few more to come, so stay tuned. Go check out the WOSA.us website /events there, friends. South African Wine Week. We're going to have a whole lot more coming up on that, so do stay tuned and listen into the show, and we'll have interviews. We're going to be covering the event during the week, telling more stories about South African wines, telling you how you can go connect with these things, and I highly recommend that you take advantage of, even pop by some of these free tastings or pop by one of these spots and try one or two of these wines by the glass. Some people are going to be running some good pricing on them, things like that. They're already well priced, but you know, might knock it down a little further, and try something new. There you go. Hey, friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Nola Drink Show, and then we're going to be back to close things out. So come on back.
Looking for a bottle of wine to impress your friends and family? Miro Cellars from California's Russian River Valley is the perfect wine for any occasion. Miro Cellars searches the region for the finest grapes to make their one-of-a-kind specialty wines. Award-winning winemaker Miro Chelikov considers the particular geology and seasonal climate of each vineyard when selecting the most interesting grapes the region has to offer. Because Miro has complete freedom to make precisely the wines he loves best, the results are spectacular. Let yourself in on one of the best-kept secrets in wine today, Miro Cellars.
Time for lunch? We've got you covered at Sobu.
Chef Juan Carlos whipped up special two-course lunches that start at $14.
Try our Creole Cuban sandwich and pair it with a bowl of our gumbo.
Of course, Sobu's full menu is also available.
And don't forget Sobu's version of Commander's Palace 25-cent martinis.
Available Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Join us at Sobu for our speedy lunch at 310 Charter Street in the Quarter.
Complimentary parking next door at the W Hotel.
Sobu. Life is meant to be lived, not endured.
Locally inspired and nationally recognized, Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse serves USDA prime beef, Gulf seafood, and innovative Creole dishes. Come experience why Maxim Magazine and Playboy named it among the nation's top steakhouses. Running short on time? The full menu is available in the bar for quicker and more casual dining. Dickey Brennan's 5 After 5 Happy Hour Special is back. Dickey Brennan Steakhouse is located in the French Quarter at 716 Iberville.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening in today. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed it. So good interview there with Cajun Spirits Distilling and Edward Heiko. Paid them a visit. And as we mentioned in the interview, I did want to circle back on that as well, that their tasting room is really just about to open. It's actually pretty much done. You can see some pictures up on our Facebook page coming pretty quick. And they're basically ready. I think they're just looking for some staffing and stuff. So go check them out when they get the tasting room open. It'll be a nice space to go do that. Of course, check out South Africa Wine Week. Stay tuned with us here at Nola Drinks online, on the show, on the podcast, about town, because we're going to be all about South African wines during the week and leading up to it. Of course, again, mentioning that October 30th through November 5th, and lots of different stuff to go check out. And like I said, go do a smattering. Maybe pick, do one thing a day or pick two or three days and go check some stuff out. Stuff happening in New Orleans, stuff happening on the North Shore. So that'll be a lot of fun. I wanted to mention a couple events coming up. Of course, I think with the potential threat of Nate be it tropical storm or hurricane, or hopefully it would just go away, but it's seemingly less likely that some of these things, of course, are going to be weather dependent as we move forward into the week. Of course, that dinner tonight that I already mentioned taking place, doors at 6:30. So in just a little bit here, and dinner at 7 at Cavern. It's a 4-course sake paired dinner. Hopefully that's going to be really good. So if you're interested in going, they might still have some spots left. 504-509-7655. That should be pretty fun. Really cool event that comes up every year. It's a dark and stormy night, and it benefits Big Classes Youth Writing Center. And it's going to be complete with a ghost story cocktail contest featuring bar talent from 21st Amendment, Ace Hotel, Belize, Bar Tonic, Tiki Tolteca, Treo, and Vessel DJ Soul Sister host the event. The event will take place at Felicity Church. And if you go to, what's the website there? Just go to bigclass.org/darkandstormy, spelling out and, of course, and all of that. October 5th. 2017. We know that Felicity Church, 1220 Felicity Street, 6 to 7 p.m. is the patron hour, and then 7 to 10 p.m. is the main event. And you can do attire as cocktail or costumes. And you could probably combine the two, right? You could just dress up as a cocktail. That's how I'm reading that. But anyway, you can click on their website to purchase tickets and all that good stuff. That's a really good good benefit event, and it's a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of good drinks again. So just check out Big Class Dark and bigclass.org/darkandstormy. Also coming up, Taste of America. That is coming around. That's a benefit for the James Beard Foundation. They kind of tour this around. That's coming up tomorrow. 6:30 p.m. is the cocktail and tasting reception. 7:30 p.m. is the dinner. And this particular event, it's a big fandango, this one, friends. It is, let's see, some of New Orleans' most celebrated chefs, restaurants, and bars, including the 2017 James Beard Award winner, Zachary Engel there of Shia, and then our good friend Chris Hanna, I'm assuming, is going to be there, because Arno's French 75 Bar is going to be represented as well, because they won for best bar program this at the most recent round of Beard Awards. And that's a lot of fun. It's there's different levels of tickets. It's at the Royal Sonesta Hotel in the French Quarter. Let's see, tickets range anywhere from a VIP patron ticket package for two for $1,000. So not for the faint of heart or the light of a pocketbook, I suppose. The premier dining ticket, which includes a cocktail reception and dinner, is $300. And then you can get a whole VIP all-star table and bring 10 of your friends and get the VIP treatment plus cocktail reception, dinner, blah, blah, blah. And that's $5,000. What you can visit to do that, I'm sure if you can go to the James Beard website, the tickets are available at www.squadup.com/events/taste-america-New Orleans. Just Google Taste of America New Orleans. It's going to come up. That'll save you a lot of headache and me reading the URL over and over again and somebody trying to fumble for a pen and write all that stuff out. But there's going to be a lot of great food. The dinner is going to bring in, and the drinks will be really an all-star team. And again, featuring our friend there, Zach Engel from Shia, and our good friend Chris Hanna from Arno's Bar French 75. There you go, the French 75 Bar. That's what I'm trying to say. So that's tomorrow evening, starting at 6:30. And again, I'm guessing some of the stuff a little later on in the week. We'll get to that a little later on our Facebook page and stuff like that. We'll just kind of have to see how the weekend goes with the weather. One other event that's going on, Saturday afternoon at Pontchartrain Vineyards, is their wine club release. They do a quarterly wine club release throughout the year, so that would be four times a year. If my math is correct, I'm pretty quick on the uptake. And it's free for all to attend. How that works is it goes from 12 to 3 in the tasting room. They're located up in Bush, Louisiana, about an hour north of downtown, so a pretty easy drive. And 12 to 3, it is open to the public and free to attend. Going to be live music going on from Eric DeSanto and Kristen Corville from 12:30 to 3. And they're going to be playing on the patio if it's nice. If it's not so nice, they're going to be playing inside. And if you're in the wine club, there's an exclusive food pairing for you prepared by Chef Kelly Cook. And so three of the wines that are being released to the wine club and are available in general for sale, I believe, to the public will be paired with a specific dish. And Chef Kelly's really good at using the wines that she's pairing as part of the ingredient base for whatever dish she's serving. So I believe one of the wines, for example, which I'm going to talk about in a second, is the Petite Sirah, and that's from the Livermore Valley. And Kelly is going to be doing a Marchand de Vin sauce with, I believe, beef tenderloin, just to give you a little taste. You have to be in the wine club to participate in that, but the wine club is free to join. A couple different levels of the wine club. You could just show up at the event and learn more about the wine club. Lots of discounts. You get discounted or free, depending on your club. club level, concert tickets for the Jazz and the Vines concert series, which is going on at the winery for the fall right now. And then, of course, in the spring, discounts, exclusive invitations like this food pairing, some of these things that go on. So check out that. You don't have to be in the club to go and enjoy the music and taste some wine. They'll have tasting flights and all of that good stuff. Yeah, but one of the wines friends at Pontchartrain Vineyards is releasing, and if you haven't been there in a while, and full disclosure, if you listen to the show regularly or if you hear me, my good friend Tim McNally show or anything like that when I'm a guest, I'm the general manager there at the winery, been involved with it for quite some time. And one of the things, if you haven't been there in a while or you're not familiar, is this question comes a lot. You know, what can you actually grow in Louisiana? Well, it's actually pretty tough to grow wine grapes in Louisiana. There are two that are grown on the property, and they're hybrid varietals. That's a story for another time. But a lot of the grapes are now being brought in from the West Coast, and a lot of stuff has been brought in from Mendocino, but it has also been brought in from now, starting with some of the reserve wines from the Livermore Valley, which is where I used to work. Go figure, you can connect the dots there, how we know some of these people. But it's California's oldest commercial wine producing region, and in my mind, produces arguably the best Petit Sirah on the planet. And I love Petit Sirah when it's done right. And I think this one has been done right. People tend to overdo it. It's a really good wine. And one of the things here in Louisiana, there's not a lot of great ones. There's one or two okay ones. I'm not naming names. Let's just put it this way. The selection of Petit Sirah on the market in many places is not so great. And it's hard to find outside of really California, where it's kind of emphasized in certain parts. And so this one's a really, really good one that the Pontchartrain Vineyards is putting out from Livermore Valley, really the home to Petit Sirah in the United States. So do check that out. We'll probably talk a bit more about that in the future and all that good stuff. So, hey, friends, I really do appreciate you tuning in today. Again, be weather aware with a tropical storm slash, I guess, what could be Hurricane Nate. Probably going to get some at least indirect, if not direct, effects from the storm in our area over the weekend and into Monday, maybe. So please help each other. Be kind to your neighbors. Be aware. Don't try and be stupid. Okay, you know, get prepared, do what you got to do, and be smart. All right, be safe. Everybody, I want you to be kind to one another. Get out there, help our friends in Puerto Rico, continue to help our friends with Hurricane Harvey, and our friends in Florida as well. And yeah, there you go. So I appreciate you tuning into the Nola Drink Show. We'll be back more next week. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about South African Wine Week and some other things. So we'll let you know what's going on when I have it all figured out. Okay, so I really, again, friends, thanks for tuning in today. Really, really do appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Be safe, stay dry, and again, be good to one another. And until then, cheers, y'all.